Let us go to Psalm 95, verses 8 through 10, that we might find our thought for the day, and our thought for the day is proving God the wrong way. Now, there's the right way to prove God, and that's by paying tithes in a right spirit, with the right confidence and a right attitude, and a right respect for God's nature. And then there's the wrong way to prove God, and that is with an evil heart, an evil intent, and a disrespect for God's nature. Trying to place God in a difficult situation because we think we might expose him to a situation which he cannot handle, which he cannot provide for, which he cannot take care of. The word says here, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now here's a group of people that proved God the wrong way. They put him to the test, thinking that they would prove some error, some illusion, some false thing within God. And their question was, can God provide a table in the wilderness? And they had an evil intent in their heart. Their faith was not holy, was not pure, was not right. And so their suspicion was, can God really provide a table? Can God give us something that will strengthen us? And does he have the right kind of substance day after day to lead us to Canaan's land? Does he? And so it was a suspicion against God's nature. And so they proved God all right. And you know what God did to that group? He let them stay in the wilderness 40 years and fed them day after day for 40 years to prove their evil intent that indeed he could provide a table in the wilderness, not only to lead them to Canaan's land, but as long as he desired to let them live. And so he proved it to them for 40 years that he could provide a table in the wilderness. And so, beloved, oh my, let us take a lesson. Let's take heed. Let's take warning from this evil group here, lest that we find ourselves in a similar attitude and a similar disposition. Can God get me out of this situation? Can God heal my body? Can God provide for my spirit? Can God provide for my soul? Can God provide for my body? Can God take care of my financial needs? Be careful, beloved, lest that God put you in a difficult situation and prove to you over and over very many days that indeed he can take care. And so to prove their evil intent toward God from the beginning, we see their attitude in the 17th chapter of Exodus when there was no water supply there. The Bible says here that the people begin to chide, that is blame and reprove and upbraid and scold with Moses and saying, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye me? Wherefore do you tempt or prove the Lord? In other words, why do you prove God with this class of attitude? Now, they didn't come and say at first that they were thirsty. They did not come and plead their cause in the proper way. They came and they were angry because there was no water. Beloved, don't come to God with that kind of attitude and anticipate to get the right kind of answer that will be a blessing to you, that you can appreciate and enjoy. They did this time after time when they were thirsty and when they were hungry. They came with a murmuring, hateful, angry attitude toward God, and even though God met their needs, they could not appreciate what God gave. So when we prove God the wrong way, we are never able to enjoy what God does give when we even prove him. And so the only way we can enjoy anything is to prove God with the right spirit, with the right attitude, knowing in advance and giving him credit in advance for being a righteous, holy, just God, and prove him from that good, right, holy attitude. Then when God does meet your need, you will be grateful, you will be blessed, you will enjoy what you proved God to get. So they proved in the wrong way. Yes, later, the people said in verse 3 here, and the people thirsted there for water. In other words, God purposely withheld the water. They didn't come in the beginning and present their thirst to God. They came and presented their anger to the servant of God. Moses told them, you're not really blaming me. You're not really proving me. God is the one you're tempting. God is the one that you are proving. And so they were proving God, tempting God, trying to make God bow down and join to their angry, bad, ugly, evil will. And so God let them go then until they really did get thirsty. And because through this, God proved Moses also. And then finally, Moses' ugly attitude came out. You know, sometimes we look at other people when they're ugly and we say, well, I'd never be like that. I'd never do that. But we find that when the test and the trial increases, that we find ourselves usually behaving just like anyone else. And likewise, did Moses here. And so Moses goes to God and cries out, and he said, what am I going to do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. Which Moses began to accuse then the people to God. The people weren't ready to stone him. And to prove that, God said to Moses, pick up your rod and go out in front of all the people. He said, go on before the people. Let's see if they're going to stone you or not. And so Moses did and took the rod and went up to Mount Horeb as God had told him, and smote the rock. Which was Christ, because in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 4, the Bible said that they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so God took the spiritual, invisible water of the rock, the Christ, the Word, and poured it out and made it visible, physical water that the children of Israel could drink. And so he called the name of the place Massa or Meribah because of the child and the children of Israel, because they tempted or proved the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is he really here? Is he really omnipresent? Is he really an omnipresent God? Is he really an omnipotent God? Is he really omniscient God? Beloved, that's the wrong way to prove God. You don't prove on that side of the truth. You step up on that truth that he is a holy God. He is an omnipresent God. He is an omnipotent God. He is an omniscient God. That is, he has all knowledge, all power, and all presence. He knows all about your needs. He's got all the power to meet your needs, and he's present there to meet them right now. And so we have to begin, if we're going to prove God from that place of truth, to prove him in the right way. Let it be a lesson to us. Let it be an example that we take heed that we not prove God in the wrong way and suffer 40 years, as it were, as the children of Israel did, proving him the wrong way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word that indeed is a light to warn us, Lord, that we can take heed, that we need not follow the evil mistakes and footsteps of those that have gone the wrong way. Lord, we pray today that you will enlighten us and teach us, that we might take heed and warning from your precious word today, that we might not prove you in the wrong way, because we pray in the precious, lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.